The stories featured in Greeking Out are usually original adaptations of classic Greek myths. This week's story features snakes pretending to be people, potion drinking, a violent crane, and mountains where mortals can't go.
Greeking Out, the greatest stories in history. We're told in Greek mythology. Greeking Out, gods and heroes, amazing feats. Listen and you'll see it's Greeking Out.
Welcome back to Greeking Out. Today, we're taking a field trip back to China to learn more about Tao legends. Now, longtime listeners may remember that we discussed another Tao legend back in Season 8, The Legend of the Jade Emperor, and that was our first dip into the Taoism waters. Now we're back for another episode from Chinese mythology.
What we are calling Chinese mythology here is a collection of history, religion, and folk tales that all come from the large area of land we now call the People's Republic of China. It features elements from three major belief systems: Confucianism, Taoism, and Buddhism.
Yeah, that's right. And over time, the stories kind of blended together and got all mixed up when they were passed down from generation to generation, kind of like the thousand-year-long game of telephone that we refer to from time to time. And today, we're talking about a very famous tale from Taoism. It's so beloved that it's been featured in books, movies, and in TV series for years. And if you're a fan of snakes, like the Oracle is, you're really gonna love this one, because today, it's all about the legend of the White Snake.
White Snake is an English rock band from the 1980s whose most famous song is entitled Here I Go Again.
Right, but that is not at all the White Snake I was talking about.
Well, I know, but it happens to be my favorite band.
Wait, really?
A band called White Snake? Obviously.
You know, I wouldn't have pegged you for an 80s hair band fan, but okay.
I like the hair.
Ah, you like the rock band hair of the 80s, huh? You know, I was kind of partial to the punk things, like that guy from Flock of Seagulls that had the hair that went in. Actually, you know what? We are getting way off track here. Sorry. Today's myth has nothing to do with 80s bands or hair, but everything to do with snakes. Now, this myth is a long one, and there's a very elaborate setup, kind of like a prequel. So, for the sake of time, we're just going to skip to the main part of the story. And we start with two snakes, a white snake and a blue-green snake. They lived on a mountain called Mount Ume.
Mount Ume is the highest of what is now known as the four sacred Buddhist mountains in China.
Now, as I mentioned, there's a whole other story here, but you just sort of need to accept the fact that these two particular snakes discovered a way to transform into two beautiful human women named Bai Sujen and Xiao Qing.
I love this story because usually humans transform into snakes, but this involves snakes masquerading as humans. It's an effective plot twist.
Exactly. I knew you were going to dig this one. Now, these two snake women, they were best friends. And one day, they decided to travel to Hangzhou, a famous city in China. This was a long journey, and it required them to take a ferry boat to cross a big lake. It wasn't very long into their ride on the ferry boat before it started to rain. Luckily, a kind man named Xu Xian offered his umbrella to the ladies. Xu Xian and Bai Sujen got to talking, and they found out, as it turns out, they had a lot in common. And before the ferry ride was over, these two had made plans to meet up again.
He was rather handsome, wasn't he?
Bai Sujen asked her friend Xiaoqing.
He was okay for a human. Personally, I prefer snakes,
Xiaoqing replied.
But did you see how thoughtful he was?
Bai Sujen asked.
He even offered us an umbrella. Not many men or snakes would think to do that. Well, probably because snakes do not have umbrellas, nor the arms to carry them,
Xiaoqing replied.
A fair counterpoint.
But regardless, Xu Xian and Bai Sujen began to spend time together on a weekly basis. It wasn't long before the two declared that they were in love.
Have you told him you're actually a snake?
Xiaoqing asked.
I do not plan to become a snake again,
Bai Sujen replied.
So the information is irrelevant. Well, not completely irrelevant.
Again, fair counterpoint. While I am devoted to snakes of all kinds, it is important to expose information regarding your species to your future life partner.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you on that one, Oracle. But Bai Sujen did not tell Xuxian about her snaky secret, and the two were married. The couple were incredibly happy. They lived together in a beautiful home and even opened a medicine shop where they worked together to provide the town with herbs and other healing items.
Traditional Chinese medicine, now commonly referred to as TCM, began in ancient China and continues to be used today. Now it includes things such as acupuncture and Tai Chi, as well as traditional herbal remedies.
Bai Sujen had never been happier. Even though she was keeping a big secret from her husband, she didn't really feel guilty about it. She had no plans to turn back into a snake, and she was in love with Xuxian and would be his wife, his human wife, for the rest of her days. What could go wrong? Well, unfortunately, lots. Because, unbeknownst to Bai Sujen, there was another person in town who happened to know her secret. His name was Fa Hai, and he was the abbot of a Buddhist temple.
An abbot is a monk or holy man who holds an administrative position within the temple.
Now, typically, monks are known for their kind acts and good vibes, but Fa Hai was not. And when Fa Hai came into the shop, he was able to tell straight away that Bai Sujen was really a snake. Don't ask me how. You can call it intuition or guidance from the divine or whatever, but Fa Hai was immediately convinced that Bai Sujen wasn't the human woman she was appearing to be. In fact, Fa Hai took it upon himself to let Xuxian know about his wife.
There is something wrong with that creature,
Fa Hai said to Xuxian when his wife went home to start dinner.
You mean my wife?
Xuxian said, confused.
Yes, she is not what she seems. She is a snake.
Now, Xuxian was concerned. Was there something wrong with this guy? Was he experiencing hallucinations? Was he sick?
Please, take a seat, sir,
Xuxian said.
Trust me when I say this. Your wife is a powerful snake. A white snake, if I'm not mistaken, and she is currently masquerading as a woman. She is not human. This is all a game to her.
Xuxian just stared at the man.
You don't believe me?
I can't say that I do,
Xuxian replied.
Fine. Have her drink wine during the Dragon Boat Festival, and she will reveal her true self.
The Dragon Boat Festival is a holiday that occurs every year in late May or early June. It is to commemorate the poet Chu Yan. It is said to be a magical day that includes lots of celebrating, praying for good luck, and warding off evil spirits.
And also apparently turning your wife back into a snake.
Seems like a good thing to me.
Now, Xuxian eventually got rid of Fa Hai, but he couldn't seem to completely get rid of the conversation in his mind. He just couldn't forget about it. What if his wife really was a large white snake in disguise?
Then it would be a happy day, indeed.
I'm not sure Xuxian would agree. He couldn't let this go. Was he being deceived? Was Bai Sujen going to secretly slither towards him in the middle of the night and squeeze him to death?
False. I will not participate in this anti-snake propaganda. Snakes that squeeze their prey only account for 11% of all snake species. So it is statistically unlikely that Bai Sujen would squeeze him to death.
Okay. Simmer down, Oracle. Look, Xuxian just wanted to know the truth. Was Bai Sujen really a snake in disguise? It seemed ridiculous, but why was this monk so convinced? So Xu Xian decided to go ahead and make the special wine for Bai Su Zhen to drink. He figured, hey, he has nothing to lose. If she drinks the wine and nothing happens, well, no harm, no foul, right? He'd forget about the whole thing and finally get some peace. But if she turned into a snake, no, 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 no. Xu Xian was not going to let himself think about what would happen next. So on the day of the festival, Xu Xian made the special wine and poured a glass for his wife. He looked into her eyes and smiled as they clinked their glasses and began to drink. And nothing happened. Xu Xian felt a huge sigh of relief. The couple spent a few more hours together enjoying the festival, and then they went off to bed. In the morning, Xu Xian rolled over and reached for his wife. Only her skin felt a little weird, kind of cold and slimy. Xu Xian threw back the covers, and instead of his beautiful wife, he saw a large white snake in the bed.
White is not a common color for snakes. We don't know what exact species that Bai turned into. A recent venomous snake was found in Asia, and scientists have called it Su Chen's Great, or Bungarus Su Chene, after this Chinese myth.
Xu Xian screamed, waking the snake from her peaceful slumber. When Bai Su Zhen realized what had happened, she hissed at her husband.
I can explain.
But Xu Xian didn't want to hear it. He couldn't hear it. In fact, he couldn't hear anything. He could hardly bear the heartbreak and betrayal that he felt finding out his wife was not human. Xu Xian fell to his knees, clutched his heart, and died.
Well, that's rather dramatic.
Kinda. And then suddenly, the audio changed. The announcer took a sip of water as the listeners began to hear a commercial. Yeah, we're going to take a little commercial break, and then we'll be right back with more Greeking Out.
Patrick, let's go! The clue is floating away in a hot air balloon. Hey, sorry, this is kind of a bad time. Claire and I just found a major clue, and now it's airborne. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that the parents behind Law and Order have something brand new for families. Our podcast, Patrick Picklebottom Everyday Mysteries.
Patrick, it's headed towards the water tower.
Gotta go. Listen on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
12-year-old Winston Chu has rescued his sister and the moon. But now he's about to have an even bigger problem in a magpie-turned-human running for mayor of San Francisco. Exotic birds are gathering, people are getting brainwashed, and Winston knows something foul is afoot. Check out Book 2 in the Winston Chu series, Winston Chu versus the Wingmeisters, inspired by Chinese mythology. Available wherever books are sold.
And that takes care of that. We are back to Greeking Out. Bai Su Zhen transformed back into her human form. It's still me, Xu Xian! Xu Xian! She said. But it was no use. Her husband was dead. Her act of betrayal, her inner snake, had killed him.
This is all my fault,
Bai Su Zhen cried.
My secret killed him. I should have told him the truth, but I will not let him die for my mistake.
Or you could say that feeding his wife a magical potion without her knowledge or permission led directly to his death. Two ways of looking at it.
Okay, but either way, Bai Su Zhen was convinced that this was her fault, and she refused to let her husband pass away. Now, she didn't have the power she needed to revive the dead, but she had heard of a magical herb that could restore humans back to life. The herb was currently located in the mountains and was under the magical protection of the Old Man of the South Pole.
The Old Man of the South Pole is a Taoist deity that commonly symbolizes happiness and longevity.
Gotcha.
He is not to be confused with the Old Man of the North Pole, commonly referred to as Santa Claus in American culture.
I wasn't really thinking that, but thank you for clearing it up anyway.
Although both men did have white beards and were associated with magical deer.
Huh. That is a little odd. But anyway, the herb was guarded heavily by magical spirits. But Bai Sujen decided she was going to go anyway. She told her friend Xiao Qing what she was planning to do.
You can't go. They'll torture you,
Xiao Qing said.
It doesn't matter. I have to try.
And with that, Bai Sujen traveled to the Kunlun Mountains to look for the magic herb.
The Kunlun Mountains are one of the longest mountain chains in Asia, extending for almost 2,000 miles.
It was a long journey, but Bai Sujen finally made it to the part of the mountains that was, quote, beyond mortals, meaning only for gods. There, she encountered a long silver bridge. Bai Sujen knew that she needed to cross this bridge to find the herb, but she also knew that the herb itself would be heavily guarded by spirits capable of great magic. And while she was immortal and technically couldn't be killed, there were still plenty of ways that these spirits could cause her great pain, both physically and emotionally. But Bai Sujen also knew it was worth the risk. It was her actions and lack of disclosure that caused Xu Xian's death. She couldn't live with herself if she didn't find a way to make it right. This herb was the one thing that would save Xu Xian, and Bai Sujen was determined to do everything she could to get it.
I'm sorry, Xu Xian. I will find a way to make this up to you,
she whispered to herself as she began to cross the bridge. When she reached the other side, she saw the magic herb sitting on a gold platter. Well, that was easy, she thought to herself. Suddenly, the wind began to blow, and the earth began to shake. Bai Sujen gasped as two magical spirits appeared before her, both armed and looking quite angry.
Well, maybe not that easy,
she thought.
You have entered the sacred land of the Old Man of the South Pole, the guard explained. Why have you come here?
For all her planning, Bai hadn't actually thought of a reason why she would be in the sacred land. She knew she couldn't explain her intentions, but she had to have a good excuse to be left alone with the herb.
I'm here to invite the Old Man of the South Pole to a gathering,
she explained.
I work with a local temple, and they asked me to come up here and see if he would make an appearance.
The spirits looked at each other.
We will check. Stay here.
Then the spirits disappeared. Immediately, Bai Sujen ran right over to the magic herb and began plucking off a few leaves, just enough to save Xu Xian. She raced for the bridge, barely able to contain her excitement that her plan had worked.
Not so fast,
a voice said. Bai Sujen turned around. The spirits had returned.
Did you really think we would leave you alone with the magic herb? This was your first test, and you failed quite miserably.
I'm sorry,
Bai Sujen said.
I just really need this herb to save my husband.
That is a shame,
the spirit said as they drew their swords.
You came all this way for nothing.
The guards approached her with their weapons raised. Bai Sujen turned and sprinted across the bridge towards safety, but the men were gaining on her, running fast. As soon as her foot touched the other side, she whispered a magic enchantment and produced a glowing sphere of magic. She turned and threw it across the bridge, hitting one of the guards and knocking him unconscious.
What are you?
Shouted the remaining guard. Bai Sujen continued to fight back with her magic.
I am magic. I am a healer. I am a snake. I am human. I am undefinable,
she said.
Well, unfortunately for you, I have magic, too.
And the guard transformed into a magnificent crane, shooting magic out of his long beak. Bai Sujen dodged and ducked the crane's spells, all the while casting enchantments of her own.
Stop!
A voice finally called from the mountains. Bai Sujen froze. It was the Old Man of the South Pole. She had admired him for years. Everyone with magic did. She hated that she was stealing from the Old Man of the South Pole, but Bai Sujen felt like she had no choice. She had to find a way to save her love.
If you have magic, which indeed you do, and you are immortal, which indeed you are, then why do you need this magic herb? You should be able to heal yourself, the old man asked.
It's not for me. It's my husband. He is dead because of me, and even my powers cannot bring him back.
Bai Sujen told the old man the whole tale. She told him about turning into a human, about falling in love with Xuxian, about the medicine shop, and how she was happier than she thought she had any right to be. And then she told him about the drink and how Xuxian had caught her in her snake form and died from shock. By the end of the tale, the old man of the South Pole was deeply moved.
You may take the herb, he said. Everyone deserves their shot at true love.
Bai Sujen smiled and thanked the old man profusely. She nodded to the magic spirits on her way out and began the long journey home.
Almost every mythology and culture had an interest in immortality. It was one of the questions that troubled humanity, obviously. And most mythologies have a tale of someone trying to find it.
Yeah, and all across the world, they seem to believe that plants had the power to make people nearly immortal. I mean, that's what happened with our buddy Gilgamesh, remember, when he went searching for immortality? And in our story of Asclepius, the healer in Greek mythology.
Ethnobotany is the study of how humans have used and continue to use plants in medical, religious, or other contexts.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that was a thing. But, okay, anyway, back to the story. When Bai Sujen returned home with the herbs, she found her husband Xuxian protected by her friend Xiao Qing.
You were successful,
her friend said.
Not yet. Let's see if he winks.
Bai Sujen crushed up the herb and then poured it down her husband's throat. Immediately, the man coughed as his body began to fill with light. Slowly, he opened his eyes. Bai Sujen's plan had worked. Her husband was alive. And that brings us to the end of our episode today, folks.
You can't end it like that. There's so much left in the story.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I know. But we're actually out of time. We're going to tell the rest of the story in next week's episode.
This couple has unresolved issues to work through. Lack of trust can seriously impact a relationship.
Yes, I know, Oracle. I promise. We're going to talk more about it in the next episode. We're just out of time today.
I do not approve of these shenanigans.
You know what? Yeah, I'm sorry. Next time, I will definitely make sure to give you a heads up if we're going to do, like, a cliffhanger thing.
That is all I ask.
Okay. Thank you.
Freaking out.
That's it for this week. We have the rest of The Legend of the White Snake coming next episode, so watch this space.
Freaking out. Gods and heroes, amazing feats. Listen and you'll see it's
National Geographic Kids Greeking Out is written by Jillian Hughes and Kenny Curtis, and hosted by Kenny Curtis, with Tori Kerr as the Oracle of Wi-Fi, audio production and sound design by Scotty Beam, and our theme song was composed by Perry Grip. Dr. Meredith Safran is our subject matter expert, Emily Burkett and Lori Broda are our producers, and Emily Everhart is our senior producer.